I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast. This week we're joined by Tommy Walsh and Dougie Anderson, Nick Hancock, and of course Natalie Sawyer. Now, we asked yesterday on Twitter, what is the greatest sports film of time? And we had thousands of responses, literally thousands of responses, and all of them pretty good films that we can actually talk about. Let's take a look at the top five at the end of the podcast. We're going to do that. Hopefully that will keep people listening to the actual show as well. They will be on tenter. What is a tenter hook? Anybody know?
You put tenters on.
Anybody know what it is? No? Sounds like something from the building trade. Tommy, no?
I would say it was more from the Dockers.
Dockers, is it? Maybe
it's the Dockers. Dockers, good East End lads. Good East End lads, like us, Tom.
East End. There we are. Anyway, let's have a listen to the Glory Hunters podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that pits fan against fan in an epic battle of wits. Our guests are given the chance to represent the team they've always supported in our very own theatre of dreams. But who will have a starring role and who'll be asleep on the job is up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, this week's second round tie sees West Ham take on Stoke. Representing West Ham, our team captain, Dougie Anderson, and a man who's a ground force unto himself. Use the ground force, Luke. It's Tommy Walsh. Hello, Tommy.
Hiya.
Hello, we'll come back to you in a minute. And leading out the Potters is Natalie Sawyer.
Hello. Hello.
Natalie. Very good to see you. Who's alongside comedian, presenter and Stoke. What are we going to call you? Stoke enthusiast? Enthusiast? Freak?
If you like.
That's Nick Hancock, of course. Lovely. Thank you very much for everybody for coming in.
Good to be here.
You all right, Dougie?
Very well.
Very good. You sat next to Tommy Walsh.
Representing West Ham.
West Ham.
Proud to do so, Tommy.
Yes,
if,
indeed.
If I may say. And in a way, representing the East End.
Yes, and of course the Academy of Football. Don't forget to.
Of course. The School of Science, is it? That's Everton, isn't it? The Academy of Football, the West Ham way.
That's exactly right.
Do we know what that is? Losing at the moment, isn't it?
It's a street outside Upton Park, actually.
Oh, is it?
Winning way,
yeah. All right, okay. But now, you were a goalkeeper, is that right, Tommy?
I don't like using the was word.
Oh, sorry. You are a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I got my first England cap last year.
Oh, did you?
For the over 60s.
For the over, did you?
Did you really?
And have you played much for England yet?
I've had two games, both games against Wales. The first one we won 1-0 and I was man of the match, so I got two awards. Mm-hmm. And the second one we lost 4-1 and I got nothing, and not even a phone call after that one. So
we let in four.
It might be a short-lived career, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, I've got it written down here that David Beckham once scored a penalty against you during an actual international match. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you talk us through that story, Tommy?
Well, it's always great if you want to win a few quid, actually, because the question you need to ask is, who was the goalkeeper that David Beckham scored a penalty against, the last one, in an England game? And it was
during
a full England international. And it was, I was doing something for Sport Relief, and they said, will you do a penalty competition at half-time? So I said, yeah, sure. So I went down, I had my son, who was only 10 at the time, with me, and he stood by the goal. And Sven was in charge. And for the first time, and for no apparent reason, at half-time, the players didn't go off the pitch. They all stayed on the sideline. So it was rather weird. But I knew a few of them. David James was the club captain at West Ham.
Mm-hmm. Goalkeepers Union, of course.
Exactly, the big high five. I went in goal, got on with... There was 10 penalties, and there was five people. All had two penalties each. So no one was taking any notice, you know, everyone going to get their pints and pies and whatever. Yeah. And it was at Man City's ground, so that's where the England game was being played, against Iceland. Yeah, so I saved the first penalty, saved the second one, saved the third one, saved the fourth, fifth and sixth one. Oh. By now, people are getting a bit interested, you know, and I've got the crowd, you know, behind me. And then a couple of the England players started warming down. Sammy Lee was warming them down on the edge of the box. Only a couple of them. So penalty number seven and penalty number eight saved them. Penalty number nine saved that. So that's nine out of nine. By now, the whole England team are on the edge of the box. No one's warming down. They're just watching the penalty competition. So he took the 10th penalty and I saved it. So it's 10 out of 10. And the crowd were going nuts and David Beckham was laughing, you know, standing on the edge. I went, come on then, son, bring it on. So you've got to think... This, you know, really was a long while ago now. My son's 26, so he was 10, 16 years ago. But you've got the England captain, he was about 28, so he was at his peak, I suppose, at his prime. And I just saved 10 out of 10 penalties in front of a full house, England, full international.
The dream.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a Cockney builder. This is like something else, like a dream waking up. To be fair to him, he picked the ball up and put it down because he said he can't. I said, come on. He said, I can't because of this.
Yeah.
And apparently up in the gallery, they were going, David Beckham's about to take a penalty. Who did he take the penalty against? Have they kicked off? So you've got to remember now, I think as a goalkeeper all my life, about 60% of people, of players, if they're right-footed, go to the goalkeeper's left, and about 40% go to the goalkeeper's right.
Yeah, pro tip there, yeah.
It's just, it seems out of balance works. So as he ran up to take it, he's got such a sweet right foot. I just moved a bit early because I don't normally, just to move my not inconsiderable weight onto the one leg, you see, and over this left-hand side, because I'm going to save it anywhere on that side. And then he stopped. You know, when he digs his foot in, he stopped. I fell over and he just flicked it in. And that was... But ironically, that was the last penalty he scored in an England shirt because the next three penalties he took for England, he missed all three.
Yeah, the one where he slipped, the foot went out from under him. Yeah. And
I did chance my arm afterwards, though, because he said to me, he said he was a big fan of Ground Force. It was his favourite programme.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been documented.
What did he say? Can you do my patio?
Well, no, he said that I've been wanting to talk to you for ages, so I thought I'd chance my arm. And I sent him a book, a signed book, and I said, Dear David and Victoria, the reason I deliberately dived the wrong way during our penalty competition was I didn't want to damage your confidence going into the Europeans.
Yeah, yeah.
However, if you like a rematch, I would be available for the final.
Lovely.
If England got there.
Now, Nick, we know you're a massive Stoke fan, but you're also a big cricket fan. We know that.
I love my cricket.
This is my question for you at the moment. Who's the best Stoke at the moment? Ben Stokes? Or Stoke City? Well, who do you like best at the moment? Stoke City or Ben Stokes?
I like Ben Stokes. I love Stoke City.
Why do you only like Ben Stokes?
Well, I'm trying to make a definition, make a distinction between the two. I have no option but to love Stoke. It's born to it. But Ben Stokes, just fantastic. Yeah. That last day against South Africa, last evening against South Africa at Cape Town was just brilliant. And I was actually sat on my own at home. My little feet were going.
Do you think in cricket, when someone has that little bit extra, like Ben Stokes has, or, you know, like Flintoff did, or like, you know, Botham does, when they have that little bit extra, it's more noticeable in cricket because it's such a physical game?
Well, it's both a team game and an individual game. That's the really strange thing about cricket.
Dougie, ever competed against a pro sportsman?
I played pool against Steve Davis once.
And?
He let me win.
Oh.
But I think topping that was when, and Nick, you'll love this, it's cricket-based, this anecdote, and a wee bit shorter than yours. I once went to a celebrity cricket match, very exciting, and it was a cast of a TV show.
Okay.
It's genuinely happened. What was that TV show? Take the High Road.
Oh, my lovely.
It was the worst day out ever.
And Natalie, you, of course, once interviewed Pele. Anyway, there we are.
That's it.
Oh, but how is the new dog doing? That's what we've a lot of people asking about.
He's doing very well, thank you. There's just been one night where he was a rascal.
Oh, what did he do?
And was whining and howling. No, just did not want to go to bed.
Is he in a cage? Or
he has a little crate.
A little crate, that's what they call it, isn't it?
Not a cage. Don't call it a cage.
It's a crate.
That sounds wrong. Crate is what it's meant to be called. And yes, he has his crate. He has his bed as well.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
So, the scene is set for West Ham United v Stoke City, a fixture that's as English as Morris dancing and no-go areas after dark. Right now,
it's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
This is My Club's Bigger Than Your Club. We want each of our guests to tell us why they are the biggest club here today. They're free to employ any reasoning they wish. However, it's not about medals on the table. It's an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Now, Nick and Natalie, I think, Nick, you'll be talking about Stoke City, as Natalie is Brentford mad, but we know she's playing for Stoke City today.
Yes, of course.
So, Nick Hancock, you are going first, and your 30 seconds starts now.
More people have watched Stoke City than have ever watched West Ham, because Stoke City were founded 32 years before West Ham. Stoke have their own ground and aren't squatting on somebody else's ground. Clubs that have their own ground: Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Stoke City. Clubs that have played at other people's grounds: Charlton, AFC Wimbledon, West Ham United. Even when they played at their own ground, they didn't know the name of their own ground. It's either the Bowling Ground or Upton Park. They didn't know. They didn't know their own nickname. Is it the Hammers? Is it the Irons? Yes, they had three people that played for England in the 1966 World Cup final, but within 6 years, all of them had gone to bigger clubs. Jeff Hurst went to Stoke City. Who has claret as a club colour? It's not even a colour! Finally, the last two things. The West Ham way. Oh, my God. Shut the up! And I'm forever blowing bubbles. I'll rest my case.
Tommy Walsh, I reckon you might be a bit more gentle with your answer. I don't know. Let's find out. I'm interested to see a Tommy Walsh angry rant. Well, could you tell us why West Ham are a bigger club than Stoke City?
Well, I think it's rather ironic that Nick mentioned blowing bubbles, because we've got the best song in football. I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. It was actually written for West Ham, not like it was adopted from someone else. I suppose the nearest you could say to compete with it would be the Liverpool You'll Never Walk Alone. But then that was a pop song which they applied to the football club. It wasn't actually written for the club.
From Carousel, of course. It's from Rodgers and Hammerstein. Yeah.
There you go. So yeah. West Ham, number one, the great song. Mm-hmm. And it's a great football song. And also, we have lots of bubbles at the ground, at the game, because we've got some modern equipment now. We've moved from Upton Park. And then, of course, getting back to something I mentioned earlier, the Academy of Football, which, again, you mentioned, ironically. You only turned your nose up at it because it's true. The best achievements we've ever reached in this country is in the World Cup of 1966. And I don't know how many Stoke players there was in that side. There were no Arsenal players, and I don't think there was any Stoke players, but West Ham had the three most important players to make a difference: the captain, Bobby Moore, Martin Peters, and Jeff Hurst. And the last two scored all the goals in the final. What more do I need to say to prove the West Ham way?
Oh, it was lovely, wasn't it? I mean, it was a beautiful, beautiful answer. Very calm as well, Nick, wasn't he? Made his point very, very calmly.
It was calm. I used to have a bit of musical theatre.
I like the mentions of the songs. I like thinking that your club's song is the most important thing about your club.
You can have bubbles blown at the ground.
What was the song you were singing for Stoke? Delilah, was it?
Yes, which he did make reference to. Yes, and indeed, yes, it is boring. We do have our own songs as well. But anyway, look, I'm a great admirer of West Ham. We've had some great games against West Ham, but frankly, we won.
No. I'm going to go 2 goals to Stoke and 1 goal to West Ham. That's what I'm going to do. I think that's the nicest way.
I don't believe in superstitions. I just do certain things because I'm scared something bad will happen if I don't do them. Dear, oh dear.
You're listening to Glory Hunters, the podcast from Talk Sport. Time now to incur the wrath of the sporting gods as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
Sporting Heretics. I'm going to invite each member of the panel to share an idea or opinion they believe will change sport for the better. Previous suggestions have included abolishing half-time, a transfer window for fans, and even renaming football. This is an exercise in thinking the unthinkable and rattling the cages of the sporting establishment as we look to disrupt, denounce, and defame. Dougie, I'm going to come to you first. Playing for West Ham today,
but you think
we should overhaul the FA Cup?
We all know there's a big problem with the FA Cup, and it needs not an overhaul, a radical overhaul. I'm tired about hearing about giant killings. Top flight reserves losing to a team from a division lower isn't a giant killing. Don't equate it to a Ronnie Radford moment. It's simply not taken seriously by the Premier League clubs, perhaps best summed up last week by Nigel Pearson of Watford. Watford who were finalists last season, remember, and he said it's not a priority after surrendering a 3-goal lead to Tranmere. Mm. Now, understandable for league survival from his point of view, but for the reputation of the Cup, shocking. Of course, the magic of the Cup was prevalent when our beloved West Ham won the trophy in 1980. But to put that in some context, that was still literally a year before the Specials went to number one with Ghost Town.
Goodness
but
me.
Here's the solution. Make it a competition for teams from the Championship downwards. Exclude the Premier League clubs. Don't include FA Cup ties at Wembley. Make the Wembley the prize, but include FA Cup ties in season ticket packages. Suddenly, a lot more teams have a realistic chance of winning the trophy. It's played by firsts, not reserves. Crowds will rise. What about the Premier League teams? Let them count their money. They had their chance and they blew it. Tom, it's time for renewal.
I agree with you in many ways. I don't think they should not play in the FA Cup. I think the winner of the FA Cup should get the fourth Champions League place. And then I think everybody would take it more seriously.
That wouldn't be down to the FA, that would be down to the people that won the Champions League.
This is the trouble. But it makes the FA Cup.
It does.
Or you have a playoff between the winner of the currently the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, and then you get both cup competitions.
I tell you what, I would actually put that in my answer as well had I thought of it.
Had thought of it, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Here we are. Mm. So I'm going to give you two goals, Dougie. Okay.
We'll
are. Natalie, have you gone Forest Green Rovers on me? Eco tournaments.
Yeah, I think we should take inspiration from them, as we should from Greta Thunberg and Sir David Attenborough, and that we should do more for our planet, of course. So football is a global sport that thrives on international tournaments, but it's also a sport that has put itself at the forefront of a number of campaigns over recent years. And now, perhaps it's time for them to be an eco-warrior as well. Mm. So as a sport for good and reduce its carbon footprint. And you can do this very easily because rather than having their private jets, why don't they use public transport instead?
Yes.
So if you're flying abroad, forget about going on a plane, get a ferry. When they arrive at the airport, they can cycle to their destination.
What a lovely,
keeps up their fitness.
A warm up on
keeps
the way there.
Keeps up their fitness. Yeah. It's only helping them as well at the same stand, at the same time, I should say. It has a number of benefits. Firstly, football makes an ethical stand. Secondly, keeps players fit as well. And it will ensure that the planet thrives for future generations to enjoy the sport that we simply love.
I think the problem with travelling by train, Natalie, is I think even this season, one game had to be called off in the National League because the team was stuck on the train because the train never got to its destination.
They should have gone an earlier train.
They knew how long it was going to take. I like the idea of footballers on a ferry, though. It sounds like a Channel 5 show.
What a great idea. You know when they have those really privileged kids have to live a sort of normal life? Footballers
on a ferry. With a load of truck drivers. They have to have the wristband
for the seasickness, all that.
Not only would I watch that, but I'm guessing Ralph Little voiceover.
I
love the forethought of your answer, Natalie. I'm going to give you three goals. It was very, very good. Tommy Walsh, all season ticket holders should have added benefits.
Yeah, I think it's about time now, well overdue, that there should be some giving back from these clubs. They're making so much money and they take their fans for granted. Mm. And I think they need to show respect, really, for the fans a bit more. And one way you could start by doing that would be to include the right for a season ticket holder to be taken around the stadium of the particular club.
See them too.
And see all what goes on behind it and let them be part of some of that gourmet food and everything that goes on, that they can have an experience. And so many of them could go through this each week and run it through the season.
Yeah.
It's just like nice to share some of the spoils, as we say, let everyone have a lick of the cream.
I love it. I think it's a lovely idea, and I think like you could have a draw each week. Four season ticket holders get to be in the dressing room at half time.
Yeah, and two of them get to play.
Yeah. Be on the bench. No, you get one of them on the bench.
Give the lad 10 minutes.
In the FA,
10 minutes.
Right, get warmed up. You're on,
go on, son.
Tommy, three goals. Excellent answer. Nick, we come to you for our final answer. Boxing needs to change.
Well, you know, people in sport, they hate change. They hate change. They resist change at every point. And, of course, boxing is a pure sport. You've got running,
you've got throwing, you've got jumping, and you've got thumping people in the face. Those are the four basic sports that have always been there, have they not? The noble art, the pure simplicity of boxing is wonderful. It means you can set up a boxing match anywhere you like, you know. Specifically, yeah. I'm thinking weddings.
Lovely,
that happens
yes.
a lot, but absolutely wonderful. But just go with me on this. I think it needs to change. We're in the 21st century. We're a fifth of the way through the 21st century. We need a more pluralistic boxing output. We need to attract people who are watching game shows and things like that. And, you know, they don't have to be big changes. Basically, most of the British public are satisfied with nearly anything. Yeah. Any sop will send them away happy. I mean, look at motorcycle racing, for instance. All they did was they changed the name from motorcycle racing to superbikes, and everyone thought it was brilliant, you know? So I'm suggesting we call it superboxing, all right?
Okay,
you
lovely,
don't
yeah.
have to change an awful lot.
Okay.
I do appreciate that, so bear with me. What I was going to say was boxing is already on the way. It has rounds, okay?
Mm.
It has rounds. So why not make one of those rounds a general knowledge round,
lovely,
for
lovely,
instance.
Lovely, lovely.
Or they could have a swimwear round.
Ah,
now,
lovely.
You'd still do the boxing,
okay.
obviously, but they'd have to wear swimwear, or they'd have to be answering general knowledge questions.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of Tyson and Wilder, you know, in the ring together, beating six layers of stuff out of each other, and occasionally having to spit out their gum shield to shout out, Bratislava
yeah.
is the capital of Slovakia. That is entertainment.
That's super boxing.
Yeah, that's super boxing. Or, you know, every now and again, is it Moussaka? You know, that's fantastic. And then right at the end, they will be there, browbeaten, tired, sweat pouring off them, and they both have to give a 30-second speech on how they would make the world better
lovely.
For future
lovely.
Generations.
Lovely.
I'm not saying it's a finished article. I'm just saying open your minds.
It's an interesting argument. I mean, as I always say, boxing is a great spectacle, but it does tend to get a little bit fighty.
It does. A bit punchy,
it does.
Isn't it?
And you know, I never have any idea if it's a good fight or a bad fight.
Oh. That's super,
that's super
boxing.
Super boxing, you know.
I've got one way to improve super boxing already. Put it on a ferry.
Oh.
Isn't it lovely? Oh. Lovely isn't
see,
it?
Trying to kick the feet. Yeah. Oh, loving it. Ferry.
Lovely. What a lovely answer, Nick. Fantastic. Three goals.
One accusation you can't throw at me is that I've always done my best.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
New year, new podcast. It's Glory Hunters from Talk Sport. Time now for Back in the Day,
where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. Dougie and Tommy, we're going back to 1980 and this.
Oh, Devonshire's round the back. Oh, right across, it's free. Driven in. And is it a goal? It is. Trevor Brooking. The ball ricocheted in off him. And West Ham are in front.
Trevor Brooking's goal sealed victory for second division West Ham United against Arsenal in the FA Cup final. But what else do you remember of the year 1980? Tommy and Dougie, we're going to ask you some questions. Here we go. Question one. That victory for West Ham was the last time a team outside of the top flight won the FA Cup. But which second division side were the last to win it before the Hammers in 1980? Sunderland, Southampton, or Stoke?
Sunderland, Southampton, or
second division Stoke. Side. Which second division side were the last to win it before the Hammers in 1980?
I'm immediately thinking of Sunderland winning it against Leeds early 70s. Porterfield, I think, scoring the winning goal for Sunderland. I think Sunderland were...
You don't think it'd be Stoke because we've got Nick sitting opposite on it and waiting to do another rent.
Because Stoke have never won the FA Cup. I think they've won the League Cup. But they've never won the FA Cup, I don't think, Stoke City. So that's immediate. That's out there. I think that Ian Porterfield goal for Sunderland against the great Leeds United. But listen, what about you?
No, I'll go. I don't really know the answer to that. So
okay, probably best to go with me.
Who are you going for?
Well, we've had a good discussion there.
I heard it. Yep.
Tommy put in a few good points.
Yep.
But we've decided we're going to go with my one, and it's we're going to go with Sunderland.
Going to go with Sunderland? Okay, let's find out.
McGarry off to Stokes, who's onside. 1-0! Southampton go mad!
That was Bobby Stokes, so it's even more confusing.
Oh, it's very
Bobby
depressing.
Stokes scoring for Southampton. Unbelievable. There
That's
we
what
are.
Threw us.
Here we go, question two. As West Ham fans celebrated in the streets of East London, what was the number one single at the time that they danced to? Was it A? Blondie, Call Me, or... That was Dexy's Midnight Runners, of course, Gino, or C. The Police, Don't Stand So Close To Me. What do we think? You're a music expert, Dougie, but yeah. Tommy, what music do you listen to?
Yeah, Motown, soul, I like blues.
Oh, right, you'd had a few ales afterwards. West Ham won the cup. What were you dancing to?
I'd say it was Gino.
Dexys. Mm. Okay, well, we have to go with the big man who was there. We're going to go Dexys.
Go with the man, the horse's mouth. Let's find out.
Wondering if they could ever soundtrack, I don't know, the theme tunes of Brushstrokes, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Because of you. Yeah.
That's a very niche one, that.
Lovely, lovely.
Let's go for a niche,
lovely
niche
reference, Dougie. I think about eight people got it, but I got it.
Thank
so
you.
That was very nice of you.
It's three shy of 11.
There we go. Question three. 1980 was also the year of this.
Birtles. Robertson. That's the first. 20 minutes gone and Robertson puts Forrest in front.
John Robertson's goal against Hamburg saw Nottingham Forest win the European Cup for the second year in succession. But what was significant about that victory? Was it A, first team ever to win back-to-back European Cups? B, first English team to have won back-to-back European Cups? Or C, the first side to win the European Cup more times than they'd won league titles?
I'm immediately going for the last one there because Forest won the league for the first time, which got them into the European Cup. Mm. They then obviously won the European Cup, beating Malmo in Munich. Mm. They didn't win the league that year, but because they'd obviously won the European Cup, they get back in to defend
that's
it.
That's how they did it, was it?
So, unless, Tom, unless you want to go a different way, we can discuss this.
Well, I was just wondering.
Get Gino, right?
Yeah, he did. He did. Well, I've not forgotten about that.
No, we all remember that. We all remember where we were.
But your logic, I like the logic you've applied. So, and it makes a lot of sense. Mm. So I'm going to go with your suggestion.
So you're going for C? The answer is C. There it is.
Well,
they were the first
side to win the European
Cup more times than they'd won league titles. So at the end of that round, you scored 2 out of 3.
which takes you to 9 goals, which makes it 9-all. Ooh. Natalie and Nick for Stoke City. We're going to go back to 1972 this.
Redshirts away to the pounce now. Conroy going past Webb. A delicate chip there, a deep one towards Richie. Nodded down again. And a good save! And Eastham! George Eastham! The old man has done it!
35-year-old George Eastham's winning goal saw Stoke beat Chelsea 2-1 in the League Cup final. But what else do you remember of that year, 1972? Natalie?
Fresh in the memory.
Fresh in your memory, I can imagine. Here we go. Question one. George Eastham was also a member of the England squad that won the World Cup in 1966. Mm-hmm. But which of these facts about the man who scored Stoke's match-winning goal is false? Mm. A, he's the oldest person ever to receive a League Cup winner's medal. B, he became the chairman of the South African Arsenal Supporters Club. C, he credits Yuri Geller with helping him once recover from injury.
He was in South Africa, certainly, and he played for Arsenal, so that's possible. Mm-hmm. Peter Shilton is always the answer to the oldest person to win anything, isn't he? But I don't know that for certain, 35 years of age. I'm sure there have been people older than that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Frank Clark. Let's not go through them all.
Yeah, we can't. Yeah. We're here for ages.
I think it may be Yuri Geller, and I think they've only put Yuri Geller in because they wanted to have an answer with Yuri Geller in it.
So you've gone for C. He credits Yuri Geller with helping him once recover from injury. That is false. Congratulations, well done. One goal there. Question two. 1972 was also the year of this.
Radford. Now Tudor's gone down for Newcastle. Radford again. Oh, what a goal! What a goal! Radford the scorer, Ronnie Radford, and the crowd are invading the pitch, and now it will take some time to clear the field. What a tremendous shot by Radford.
Never in the field of football conflict have so many Parkers been seen in one place. It is incredible.
On they come.
It just covers
beautiful.
The Parkers,
and there's someone with a panda, with a massive panda running on. You see that clip? Yeah. Here we go. Ronnie Radford's wonder goal saw non-league Hereford equalise against Newcastle before the lower league Minnows went on to win the game 2-1. But can you tell me what was Ronnie's day job at the time? Was he a joiner and carpenter? Was he a market trader or was he an electrician? There we are.
Oh, goodness.
In the building game, Tommy, few footballers.
Well, yes.
Few footballers knocking around.
Yep. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
What's the first answer?
Joiner and carpenter.
See, I'd always say carpenter and joiner. I don't like that order.
Well, that's the way it is.
Joiner and carpenter.
Electrician? Well,
market trader or electrician?
David Jason was a Sparks, wasn't he?
Was he?
No. Yeah, he weren't any good at football.
I think market trader.
Yeah.
Go for market trader. The answer is joiner and carpenter. It's bad news for you there. Question three. While Stoke fans celebrated in the street, what was the number one single at the time that the Potteries no doubt went potty to? Was it A? School's out for summer. Alice Cooper, School's Out, or B? Or was it the military band of the Royal Scots Dragoon Guards with Amazing Grace?
I think it's probably Rod Stewart.
The military one is a bit random.
Well, I think Rod Stewart.
Natalie?
I'm curious to know why the military...
The Royal Scots Dragoon Guards. Ask Dougie, there is. It's his playlist.
Good bunch of guys.
So random. Thanks
for the service you've done for us.
Yeah, here we go.
I do think it's so random that's why.
You're going to go with that.
I want to go with that.
Natalie, you're going to go with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's find out. Bang. So in that round, you scored 2 goals, which makes it 11-9 to Stoke City.
When you're 4-0 up, you should never lose 7-1.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast in association with Monty Panesar Loft Conversions.
Oh, Monty Panesar!
Got a roof space sitting idle? Call Monty Panesar's Loft Conversions. Here on Glory Hunters, it's an open forum, and that's why we do this.
Our esteemed panel are about to be probed by the general public in the politest of ways as we play A Question of Sport Time. Yes, can we have our first question, please?
Hi, I recently played football for the first time in ages and couldn't move the next day. So I'd like to ask the panel, when do you know you're getting old?
Dougie.
Interesting question and very well delivered, if I may say. For me, it all started just after the millennium. I think we all remember that bug, Tommy.
all those planes falling out of the sky.
Oh, God. The fallout continues to this day. Yeah, it was just after the millennium, my final days of five-a-side, my once cultured left foot had, well, become a bit of a philistine, if I could put it that way. And there was also an issue with temperament. Being shouted at by a self-designated team captain to trail back on a five-a-side pitch didn't wash anymore, especially when you see him smoking in the car park beforehand. And also, in the five-a-side game, when you start to question why you're there, you know it's time to get out. Yeah. It's a bit like the Royal Navy in that respect.
I think with five-a-side, you leave and then it drags you back a bit later on in life. I think you'll go back to it, Dougie. I think that's what'll happen.
Can I answer with a double negative?
Yes.
I ain't ever going back.
You're never going back. You're never going back. What a shame. Three goals. There we are. Thank well you. Done, Dougie. Whoa. Very good. Nick, when do you know when you're getting old?
Well, for me, and this is good advice, I think, for anybody that plays any sport at an amateur level and has any pretensions that they can do it at all. Never play in a game when somebody's filming it. Because when you look back, it is the most depressing thing in the world. You think you're neat and tidy, you know, you're playing on the shoulder, you're laying it off, you can bring the ball in, you've got great vision, all this. I played in a comic relief game in Africa and they showed it back and I looked nothing more than an elderly gentleman who just lost his wife in a supermarket, not knowing what to get or where to find it, just wandering around blindly, nervously, and a little bit tearfully. And the final indignity for me was that we lost the game 6-0 to the Kenyan Post Office women's team.
Yeah, but they're good, Nick.
They are good.
They are good.
They had a few out.
Yeah, well, you know, they're still good. They're reserves. They've got a great youth system.
They've got a good system.
You know, they've got a very good system.
Yeah, I think if you want to stop, just get somebody to film.
Who was on your team? Who else was on your team? Henry's going to be in there, surely.
Really, you want to know this? David Dale, Frank Skinner, David Essex.
Oh, lovely.
It was a very strange football team.
What a great answer. I'm going to give you... three goals, Nick. An excellent answer. Natalie, do you feel old yet?
Yes. Yeah. Do you know what it is? It's when you realise that the average age of the squad, so the team that you support, means you could have been their mother. You could have actually one of their mothers. Yeah. That to me is always
quite
alarming.
I only dress up at the weekend, I'm afraid.
That's just alarming to me. There is nothing, you said about nothing more depressing. When you realise how old you are and the players you are watching are late teens, if not, you know, mid-teens. I can handle them being the same age as me, but when I'm that much older, that is not good.
I sponsor a Torquay United player. So I followed this team all last season and was like, yeah, come them out, like heroes, like these men on the pitch, you know, they're heroes. Yeah, yeah. And then you go and meet them after a match now and again because you're a team, and it's just lads. You're just like, oh, no, I don't want to see this. And you just feel so old. You just feel so old.
What's worse than that? It's when the managers are younger than you.
Yeah.
That happens.
Excellent answer. Everyone's doing very well. Another three goals there for Natalie. Tommy Walsh.
Well, I think the day that it woke me up, I woke up to the fact that I was getting old, I went skiing in Norway at 55 for the first time ever, first time skiing. Yeah. And Norway really is not the place to go because, you know, the runs are like that because they're all expert skiers out there. And the natural geography is...
steep.
Where would you suggest then? Holland?
That would be right up my street.
Holland. If you're going to start.
So you went skiing in Norway.
Skiing generally, that would be water skiing in Holland, wouldn't it? And I wouldn't be able to do it. No, but I went skiing and we went on the train and we had a bit of coaching lesson. We never got off the nursery slope, my wife and I and my son and all the kids. They were coming down these big mountains and then my son said, Dad, he said, I'll come up with you on a run, a red run, and it won't be too difficult, and I'll show you how to do it. So he took me up, What's the thing that takes you up there?
Oh, the lift. Ski lift.
That comes between your legs. Well, that was. They had to shut the thing down because it looked like I was going to break my neck on it because I wouldn't let go of it. So once we got that sorted out, after about half an hour, up we went. Then he said, you've got to go backwards and forwards like this as you come down. So just shoeing and shaying. So I did that. Then it was all going well, and then I tipped over the edge and I went down the rest of the mountain doing cartwheels. All the way down until I got to the bottom. And I have to say, after that, I thought I would need surgery.
Yeah, gosh.
But I didn't break a bone or anything. I just couldn't do anything. Couldn't even lift a bottle of beer.
Oh, dear.
So then, dreadful outcome. Terrible, that was a terrible result.
Yeah.
To be out there in Norway skiing and not having no beer.
You just felt like, this isn't for me.
Well, I just realised I was too old, and that was the first and last time I've ever gone snow skiing.
This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from TalkSport.
We're in the dying moments of the game, and we move into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. The current losing side goes first. That's currently West Ham. You are on 19 goals. I'm going to list a series of nicknames for darts players. And all you've got to do is tell me which are true, which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
I'm the daddy now.
Are you ready? Do you understand the question?
Yeah, you okay, Tommy?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's true or false. Here we go. Your time starts now. The power.
Oh, true.
True.
Field of power, yeah.
The martial dartist.
False.
It's true. Oh. Double top gun.
True.
It's false. The Baron.
True.
It's false. That's Simply the West.
True.
It's true. Frosty the Throw Man.
False.
It's true. The Squirrel from the Wirral.
True.
It's false.
Oh.
Brave Dart.
True. Oh, gotta be true.
It's true. The Pie Man.
False.
It's true. Oh. Andy Smith. Raging Bull.
True.
It's false. Danger Scouse.
That's gotta be true.
It's true. Alan Green. The Tuppenny Nudger.
False.
It is false. Darth Maple.
False.
It's true. It's John Part, Canadian. The Limestone Cowboy.
Oh, please be true.
It's true. Yes. Bob Anderson. The Harrow Arrow.
True.
It's
true.
False. Oh. The Jockey on the Hockey.
True.
Oh,
it's false.
True.
The Singapore Slinger.
Oh, that is true.
It is true. Paul Lim. Right, so at the end of that round, you scored 7 goals, which takes you to 26.
It's not good.
Stoke City are currently on 24.
It's not good for West Ham this time.
No.
You need 3 goals to win. I'm going to list a series of racehorse names. I need you to tell me which are true and which are false. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
That's enough.
Your time starts now. Horsey McHorseface.
True.
It is true. Usain Colt.
True.
It's false. Hoof Hearted.
True.
It's true. Rodney Trotter.
True.
It's false. Passing Wind.
True.
It is true. Foles Rush In.
True.
It's false. Joseph Stallion.
True.
I know what your technique is here.
Exactly.
False.
Can you work this one out?
May the horse be with you.
True.
False. It's true. No, it's false. Al Capone.
True.
It's false. 50 Shades of Hay.
False.
It's true. Talk Derby to Me.
True.
It's false. Sylvester Stallion.
True.
It's true. Maple Stirrup.
False.
It is false. The Grey Gatsby.
True.
False. It's true. False. Main Attraction.
False.
It's false. Nightmare.
True. You just give
it's true.
I can't let you do it.
Forrest Jump.
False.
It's false. No Soup for You.
True.
It's true. Give Me Another Name.
True.
It's true.
That's enough.
Oh, there we are. Oh. At the end of that round, you scored 11 goals, which takes you to 35 goals, which means Stoke City, you beat West Ham United 35 goals to 27. Tommy, any positives you can take from it at all?
Well, I think I might want a steward's inquiry on that last horse racing.
Oh, right.
His tactics were unsporting.
I agree with you. I agree with you there, Tommy, but not a lot we can do about it now. Dougie, how do you feel?
To be honest, I'm a bit depressed.
Oh, depressed. There, lovely. How lovely on a Sunday morning. Natalie and Nick, what message do you think that victory sends out as you march on into the finals?
We talked about it before. We were just desperate it didn't get a penalty.
We were.
We knew that was their strength.
But what I must say, it just shows that the EFL do come through against Premier League opposition.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
Well, for the FA Cup.
Took it seriously. Get the reserves out today. To our winners, we say... And for the losers.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? Seriously, man, you and me, we're done professionally.
My thanks to Natalie, Dougie, Tommy and Nick. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye.
There we are. Congratulations, Nick, Natalie. A great win. Another win, Nick.
Three. Yeah, well, you know, winning's a habit. I think, you know, that pulls you through right at the end.
Exactly. Tommy,
momentum to Stoke themselves, the team itself.
Yeah, the season, exactly. Yeah, bit of glory for them. Tommy, bit disappointing. You played very well. I thought you were excellent.
Well, thank you.
Dougie let you down, to be honest.
I just think we were a tad unlucky and a bit like when we play at the London Stadium.
Exactly.
It is we a bit tend unlucky. To have a lot of the game and. I think score enough goals.
Come on, Tom. I think we showed a bit flair, or if you will, the West Ham way.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Now, it's a lovely episode of Glory Hunters this week, but as I mentioned earlier, we asked on Twitter what was the greatest sports film of all time. We had some that didn't make the top five, and I can't believe some of these aren't in the top five, because this is more or less my top five. So, bit of a shame. We had a lot of support for Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack.
Okay, comedies. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good one. Caddyshack. Do you like that, Nick? No, not a big fan of it, no? No. Raging Bull,
obviously,
yeah. Top class. Oh, yeah. Top class.
Rocky, yeah. not in the top five.
Not in the top five.
No.
I tell you what, The Fighter is a great boxing film. Mark Wahlberg.
The Fighter.
Terrific. Mm-hmm. Terrific.
Okay. Kingpin was the other one that didn't make the top five, but obviously excellent film. But this was the top five at five. Any Given Sunday, American football film. You seen that?
Yeah, good film. Pacino. Yeah,
very good. Shea Given, not in that. There's only one. Jimmy Grimble. Now I've not seen that. Everybody raves about it.
Yes, filmed at the old Main Road before they put it down. Robert Carlyle. Yeah,
it's a good film, is it, Dougie?
It's passable.
Yeah. Okay.
It's no Chariots of Fire. Put it that way.
Well, there we are. Number three, Mike Bassett, England manager. I love that film. It's good fun, no? Okay, not playing to the TalkSport heartland here, the top five. Remember the Titans came in at two.
Okay.
Never seen that.
No.
Anybody?
Never seen that, no.
No?
That's Denzel.
Ironically. Denzel Washington, is it?
Denzel's in that.
And number one on the list we got back was Escape to Victory.
Wow.
Which is
yeah.
Half cool the Ipswich team. Which one?
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. Not on there. That's a good sport film.
Dodgeball. Seabiscuit.
Yeah. Dodgeball. Seabiscuit.
A river runs through it.
Moneyball.
Moneyball,
the Damned United, featuring Don Revy, a man very much ahead of his time. You know,
this is the thing. You put it out there, and you get back the answer. It might not always be the answer you want.
Can I do a wee bit of a public service?
But of course you can.
Maybe a couple of great underrated films that maybe the listeners can check out.
Go on, Doug, you hit us up.
Right, first one. We mentioned Nottingham Forest earlier on. They're in one of the questions. There's a documentary, I Believe in Miracles, all about that late 70s, early 80s Forest team, directed by Johnny Owen. A great film. And cricket, Fire in Babylon, all the rise of the West Indies in the 70s. Brilliant.
Lagan.
Documentary.
Ever seen that? Lagan.
Yes.
I have.
Indian films, 4 hours long. Absolutely brilliant.
Chris England is in it.
It's an absolute.
I have seen more than one episode of Mahabharat, which I know is TV.
It's TV, but Lagan, I can highly recommend that. Anyway, do get in touch with us on Twitter. So, Dougie, Tommy, Nick, Natalie, thanks for joining us this week on Glory Hunters. If you've enjoyed it, even if you haven't enjoyed it, rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.